Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. We've been talking about the message from the book of Nehemiah, how Nehemiah went back to Jerusalem, a pagan king, gave him the provision, provided the way, paved the way for him, sent letters with him to give him protection, to give him the provision and the materials that he needed to shore up the walls in his old city of Jerusalem. And so we're at the place where the construction has been going on. The enemy has come against repeatedly, has come against Nehemiah. The enemy has come against him and tried to disrupt the work, tried to distract him, lied to him and cursed him and tried to deceive him. And that is typical of the enemy in our life. That is typical of his tactics and the way that he operates in our life. But eventually, and so it too will be in your life, if you keep your nose to the grindstone, if you stay in prayer and you stay on your knees and you keep asking the Lord for strength and you keep seeking the Lord for guidance and wisdom, you will have success with your plan. You will have success in your life to get on top of those holes in the walls, to get on top of those gaps and to fill them up and to shore them up and to defeat the enemy in your life. Well, in 4 verse 15, it tells us that God had frustrated the enemy's plans. And in 16, it came about from that day on that half of the servants carried on the work while half held the spears, the shields, the bows, and the breastplates. And the captains were behind the whole house of Judah. And so Nehemiah came up with a plan that was given to him by the Lord, and that is that each and every person would carry a bucket or carry a piece of construction equipment, a timber, a stone, or whatever, in one hand, and they would also, in the other hand, carry their sword or their spear. And in verse 17, Nehemiah says, those who were rebuilding the wall and those who carried burdens took their load with one hand doing the work, and in the other hand, they were holding a weapon. And so that is a great strategy. That is a great teaching for us. I pray that you would receive this. You need to be in battle. And when you are in battle, you have a weapon of warfare in one hand. That would be the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit. Or you might have your shield of faith out ahead of you. You might be encountering the enemy in a way where you need to use great faith, where you need to step out and see that your faith comes to pass and speak that your faith is coming to pass. And at the same time, you do the work. You do the physical work. We are the hands and feet of God on this earth. Beloved, God's not going to come back and lay the stones for us. God's not going to come back and hold the revivals for us. He's not going to come back and build the orphanage for us. He wants you and He wants me to get your hands and your feet engaged in serving other people and in serving the kingdom of God. And as you do that, God will give you the strength. He will give you the blessing. He'll give you the provision, the anointing, the money, the materials that you need to accomplish that which He gives you to do. But you need to step out in faith. Again, maybe you just need to get that shield of faith out ahead of you and do something that you've never done before. Maybe you need to get that shield of faith out ahead of you and start asking the Lord for some really big things in your life, things that you cannot accomplish on your own. When God showed me back in 2009 that I was going to be speaking in Africa, it looked to be something much greater than I could ever accomplish on my own. I had no idea how I was going to get there, had no idea how I was going to raise that kind of money, the provision, just the airport line tickets alone, 2,000 and up sometimes. And so I had no idea how this was going to be accomplished. But I stepped out in faith. And I believed that the Lord was going to do some great and mighty things through me. I believed that the Lord was able, if I said yes, to accomplish great and mighty things for the kingdom. And, you know, beloved, it has turned out to be that way. I take no boasting and no pats on the back for my own perseverance or my own dedication to do what the Lord has called me to do. But I'm just saying this, that when you step out in faith and believe for something much greater than yourself, and believe for something that without the Lord accomplishing it, you could never accomplish it in your own flesh and in your own desire and in your own will. But you have to be willing. You have to be willing to put your feet on the ground and go. You have to be willing to put your hands onto the materials and start to build. And as you do that, God will provide everything that you need. Well, I want to make just one comment here also about the fact that they had weapons in their hand. Does this justify us to fill up our basements with weapons and ammunition and be prepared to defend our houses from people who are trying to come in and steal and kill? I believe that God has given government the authority to defend the people. I have no problem with that, and so I believe that God has given government the authority to set up defense, to raise money for military, and to equip the military to defend the people against evil doers, that is, evil governments or evil people or individuals such as ISIS or individual movements of people. I believe God has given us the authority to defend ourselves from those types of people, to defend ourselves from evil. And I also believe God has given us the authority to defend our families, which is essentially the basic unit of a nation. It's the basic unit of government, is our family. It starts with a good father, good mother, and the children. And so I believe that God has given us the authority, as we break down that authority, that governmental authority, to defend ourselves from evil. I believe God has given us the authority to defend our children and to defend our wives and our homes. And so as you think about how it is you can defend, maybe part of that defense is in relying on a weapon. But I do believe that prayer and fasting and the weapons of our warfare are much greater than military weapons, much greater than pistols and rifles and shotguns. The spiritual weapons, the spiritual weapons. And beloved, if you have weapons stored up, that's okay, that's great. But I believe you need to be spending time in prayer. I believe you need to be spending time in fasting and in Bible study and in worship. And if you're not doing that and you're just relying on your physical weapons, on your rifles and your ammo, you're making a big mistake. Because eventually, with no prayer, this nation is going to go down. And with no fasting and no worship and no fellowship, no matter how much ammo we store up, this nation is going to go down. And so you need to be in prayer for this nation. You need to rely on the spiritual weapons of our warfare. And as you do that, then this nation will be exalted and you may never have to use your physical weapons. There may come a day when you are called upon to be a martyr. There may be a day when you are asked to give your life. There may be a day when you no longer are able to defend, and if you're by yourself and you don't have any children in your responsibility and you don't have a wife in your responsibility and you're not part of the military, there may be a day when the Lord says, this is the day that I'm going to call you home and you're going to be a martyr for my kingdom, and you have that choice to make. And I know that many people around the earth are making that choice this very day, that they are giving up their life, they're giving up their head to name the name of Jesus Christ. And so that day might come for you and for me as well someday. But when you have people that have been given to you and you are responsible for their welfare and their safety, and some evil person is trying to harm them, some evil person is trying to do them in, then I believe God has given us the authority to defend them and to defend them from the attack of the evil one. Nehemiah 6:2, there's more distractions that are coming. Sanballat and Geshem sent a message to Nehemiah saying, come, let us meet together at Chephirim in the plain of Ono. But they were planning to harm me. So I sent messengers to them saying, I am doing a great work and I cannot come down. Why should the work stop while I have it and come down to talk to you? And so the devil is a deceiver. He is a deceiver. He will do everything he can to try to deceive us. And when you're doing the work of the Lord, he'll try to get you distracted. He'll try to get a meeting set up with you where he can get you off isolated from the group and try to harm you or try to kill you. And so as the deceiver, you need to be aware that the devil always is planning and scheming to take you out of the fight. The devil is always planning and scheming. And so when you see something that looks suspicious, when you see something that doesn't look right, you pray about it, you ask the Lord about it, and you engage the Lord and you ask the Lord to send his angels to reveal the plans of the evil one, to expose the plans of the evil one, and to bring those plans to light so that you can deal with them. And I want you to know too, brother, that in the response that Nehemiah sent, in a response that he sent back to Sanballat and Geshem, he says, I cannot come down because I am doing a great work and I don't have time to stop. Well, I love that, because when you're doing the work of the Lord, when you are committed and dedicated to doing his work, you don't have time to go mess around with the devil. You don't have time to spend time and check up on all the ways the devil wants to distract you. When you have your eyes focused on the Lord, when you have your eyes focused on the work, then you will know when the devil is trying to deceive you, because he'll always try to take you away from the work that God has for you. 2 John verse 7, John tells us this about deceivers. For many deceivers have gone out into the world, these who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. This is the deceiver and the antichrist. Watch yourselves, John says, that you might not lose what we have accomplished, but that you may receive a full reward. And so we know that deceivers go out. There's even deceivers standing in the pulpit of churches this very day, and they claim Jesus Christ did not come in the flesh, or if he did, that he wasn't the only begotten Son of God, or they might claim that he was not bodily resurrected from the grave, or they might claim that he is not the Trinity of God, but he's just a prophet, or he's just a good person, or he had other motives here for coming to this earth or for showing up, that he was not truly the Son of God and that he did not shed his precious blood on the cross for you. And so there are many deceivers in the world today, and as the day draws near, the end day draws near. We are in the end days now, as it draws closer to that day when Jesus comes back. There will be many false prophets. Jesus tells us in the Olivet Discourse in Matthew 24 that many false prophets have gone out into the world, and they are speaking lies, they're speaking falsehoods, they are speaking deceit, and they're trying to get people to follow them. They're trying to get people to join their church. And then they'll be led down a path of destruction and a path of lies and deceit. And so John says, watch yourselves, that you might not lose what you have accomplished, but that you may receive a full reward. And so as Nehemiah and the priests and his brethren were building the wall, the devil was still trying to get them to stop. The devil would have been happy if the wall had been stopped half finished. And you see this sometimes, that projects get stopped half finished and there's not enough money or there's not enough will or not enough people to finish the project. And so Nehemiah knew that the devil was trying to stop him. He knew he was trying to deceive him and get him to leave the wall unfinished and leave the wall half finished. Completed. At the end of 52 days, and the wall was complete, Nehemiah 6:15, so the wall was completed on the 25th of the month of Elul in 52 days. And it came about when all our enemies heard of it, and all the nations surrounding us saw it, they lost their confidence, for they recognized that this work had been accomplished with the help of our God. And we look at that phrase there, they lost their confidence, the enemies lost their confidence, and those around the city of Jerusalem lost their confidence. And another way to say that was that they fell exceedingly in their own eyes, that their estimation of their own self and their image of their own self fell exceedingly in their own eyes. And that's what we want to do. We want to try to diminish the devil. He is a fool. He never knows when to quit. But when you score victories, you gain confidence for yourself, and you diminish the confidence that the cohorts of the enemy, the cohorts of the devil, and the people that he is using, you diminish their confidence. And beloved, that's what we need here in America today. We need a good boost of confidence, a good morale booster for this nation. We need some victories. I believe that God has exposed the abhorrent and repugnant atrocities being committed by Planned Parenthood in selling the parts of babies who are aborted. It's enough of an abhorrent thing. It's enough of a tragedy and a stain on this nation that Planned Parenthood is carrying out 300,000 to 400,000 abortions every year. But even beyond that, then God exposed this despicable, abhorrent practice that they're selling off babies' body parts. And I believe God has exposed that. And so he wants to give the body of Christ a victory. He wants to give the kingdom of God here on this earth a victory that people who are fighting in the battle and have been protesting in front of abortion clinics and have been praying day and night to end abortion and have been crying out and fasting to end abortion here in America, that they would have victory and that their confidence would be boosted and the confidence of the enemy would retreat. I'm going to close up today in Nehemiah 8. This is the final verses that I have for you today. Nehemiah 8, starting in verse 1. And then all the people gathered as one man at the square, which was in front of the water gate, and they asked Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had given to Israel. Then Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly of men, women, and all who could listen with understanding on the first day of the seventh month. And he read it from the square, which was in front of the water gate, from early morning until midday, in the presence of men and women, those who could understand, and all the people were attentive to the book of the law. In verse 5, Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was standing above all the people, and when he opened it, all the people stood up. Then Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, Amen, Amen, while lifting up their hands. And then they bowed low and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Well, as we see the culmination of the building of the wall, the culmination of the months and years that Nehemiah had been in captivity and he had been praying and asking the Lord for a breakthrough for his people, Israel, and a breakthrough for his people back in Jerusalem. He had been praying, he had been fasting, he had been mourning, he had been weeping, and as he did that, then God made a way for him to go back. God made a way for him to have the provision and the materials that he needed, and the culmination of that is that Ezra is standing up, Ezra the priest, he is standing up in front of the people in Jerusalem behind those secure walls, and he is reading the book of the law of Moses to the people of Jerusalem. He is reading the book of the law. They brought out the book of the law. They started reading it. And so there was a resurrection. There was a revival. There was a fresh anointing. There was a fresh fire brought in to Jerusalem. There was a fresh fire brought in to the children of Israel. And God blessed them. He gave them a new start. He gave them a new vision. He gave them a new passion for what they were doing. And Nehemiah then could look back on his years of effort, on his years of praying, on his years of fasting, and saw how the Lord had moved in his life and saw how God had moved heaven and earth and moved mountains to bring this about and to bring this to pass. And Jerusalem's walls were closed up. I'm going to close in verse 10. Nehemiah said to them, Go, eat of the fat, drink of the sweet, and send portions to him who has nothing prepared. For this day is holy to our Lord. Do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. So the Levites calmed all the people, saying, Be still, for this day is holy. Do not be grieved. Beloved, I want you to know today that the joy of the Lord is your strength. When you see gaps in the walls around your life, when you see gaps in the walls around your family, when you see gaps in the walls around your community and this nation, and I have a burden for that as well as you, and that's why I'm preaching these messages on the book of Nehemiah. We see lots of gaps that need shored up. We see lots of holes, and we can't rely on one little boy to stick his finger in the dike. Those of us who call ourselves Christians, those of us who call ourselves believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to stand in the gap. We need to cry out for this nation. We need to cry out for our families. We need to cry out for those who don't know Jesus, for the pagans in this nation, in the United States of America, the idolaters, and those who are trapped in sexually perverted lifestyles. We need to cry out for them, for their salvation, and stand in the gap for them, for churches that are not preaching the Word of God, for churches who have given in to all kinds of apostasy. We need to cry out to them, and we need to speak to them the truth of the message of the gospel. We need to speak to them that Jesus saves, that He is the one who can help you close up those walls, and He can help you close up the gaps in your life. And as you look to Jesus, He will give you the strength. He will provide every one of your needs according to His riches and glory, and He will be there, and He will never leave you. He will never forsake you or abandon you. Again, as I speak to you today, I'm still in Africa, and I ask you to bless this ministry. I thank you for the opportunity to speak to you today. I ask you to come alongside this ministry and make an offering, make a sacrificial offering, and bless this ministry so the work can continue, that we can help those people in Africa shore up the walls in their communities, in their cities, in their nations. Many of the people there are under great distress due to terrorist activity and the activity of Islamic militants. And so I pray that you would come along this ministry and partner with us. Make a sacrificial offering today to help carry the good news of the gospel, the good news that Jesus saves, to the nations in Africa and to people all over the world. In addition, if you make an offering today of $100 or more, you're going to receive my book, Gather the Outcasts, Reaching the Lost in Africa. It's a great read. It's a inspirational read of stories and things that have happened to me and with me in the last 6 years over there in Africa, preaching in revival events and crusades. And I pray that you would get a hold of that book, get a copy of that book, read it, share it with your friends, share it with your church and your pastor, and ask the Lord to bless that book, that it would be a big seller all over the nation, that people would come be inspired in their own faith walk. Well, thank you for listening today. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.